The gamer's darkness falls.
Darkness!
Darkness falls.
So, this is Nathan, and I guess most of you will know him, because we're going to talk about this. The Gamers is a big thing in the German TTRPG scene. And we're going to talk about Gamers 4, or what's happening with Gamers 4, because you're kickstarting it right now. Are you excited?
Yes. Yes, I'm very excited. It's got weeks left, and we are over 50% there. So, like, we're chugging along, we're on target, and fingers crossed, we're going to cross that line. I'm really excited to get back to this world and do this again. I mean, I always enjoy doing this. It's why we started doing it in the first place. It was a bunch of friends having fun, and then it turned into something more.
Yeah. It's been some time since the last Gamers movie.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, if people are joining right now, do you have to know your background? Do you have to know the other Gamers films to understand what's going on?
No. I mean, you should know the Gamers films, obviously.
Yes.
It's terribly important, aside from this Kickstarter. But if the Gamers Darkness Falls was the very first Gamers movie you saw, you would be able to get everything you needed to know about the story from that movie. So it is a true sequel.
Okay.
It is not like I've had people occasionally ask, if this is like, are we rebooting the series? Nope. This is an actual sequel. And if you have seen the other Gamers, there's more context. There's more fun things. There might be some callback jokes, things like that. But if you didn't, you'd still get tons of laughs and understand the whole story.
So nothing like the soft reboots and exchanging people. And I've seen on the roster that you have basically the crew's back together for Darkness Falls.
Yeah, getting the band back together. And yeah, it's not like the Avengers where you have to have seen 10 other movies in order to kind of know what's going on.
Okay. I also wonder, because the TTRPG scene has changed quite a lot, especially over the last 10 years. So is there kind of a new audience for you where you have to explain what the Gamers is? Like the Gen Z gamers who have just joined the hobby like two years ago?
I haven't run into that yet, where I've had to re-explain. But for the most part, when people have come up to me to talk to me about the Gamers and, you know, when they first saw it and how long they've been watching it, for most people, they joined a gaming group and someone said, have you seen the Gamers? No. Okay, then before you game with us, we're going to sit you down and you have to watch the Gamers. And so for a lot of people, they've told me that story, and that's like their introduction. So it's very much more of a, I don't know if oral tradition is exactly right, because, you know, you don't directly tell someone all of the Gamers, you just show it to them, but sort of passed down from person to person, direct word of mouth, as 'twere.
We can do this!
Onward! To Waffles!
Yeah, so most people don't find out about the Gamers and watch the Gamers any other way than someone says, hey, have you watched the Gamers? No? You need to watch the Gamers. Let's go do that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a rite of passage for new gamers. That's true.
A lot of people tell me like that's their initiation into their gaming group.
I also wanted to ask about, because there was the Gamers the series, which was a different team producing it, and is that part of the canon? Should I know about that before watching Darkness Falls when it comes out? Or
you don't need to have seen that, although you should watch it.
Okay.
Again,
yes.
Because it's wonderful, amazing. But no, there's nothing you need to have seen to watch Darkness Falls. The Gamers, the series, sort of follows the characters from the very original Gamers in the real world. And sort of what we're doing with Darkness Falls is sort of the characters from the next two movies. We're following them in the fantasy world.
Yeah.
So the fantasy characters in the real world is Gamers the series. The real characters in the fantasy world is Darkness Falls.
Okay. I'm also, wondering about how that's going to work, because gamers drew so much of its humor from this difference between the two worlds of the real people playing and then the character interaction, and how Darkness Falls is going to play with. Is there going to be a way to play with these different levels of storytelling and something like that? Because now we're in a fantasy world.
So I will let you in on a dirty little secret.
Okay.
None of the actors have read the script yet.
Okay.
We know the general story and what happens, but none of us have read the actual script yet. We are entirely putting our faith in Matt Vansel, which has historically been a 100% accurate bet, so I'm feeling pretty good about it. But I haven't read the actual script, so there might be some things that I can't directly answer. And there is a lot I know about the story, and even some of those things I can't answer. But in this case, I don't actually know the answer. But if you have liked the previous Gamers or Journey Quest, which does take place entirely in a fantasy world with no players, you should enjoy Darkness Falls.
Okay. So if you have a general idea about the script without knowing the details, do you know what your character, what Lodge has been up to? So is it actually 10 years into the future? Because when last time we saw Lodge getting thrown into the fantasy world, he was about to become a father. So what's up with that?
Well, that falls under the area of things I know but can't talk about.
Okay.
But what I can say is, it sounds like you're inferring some things that were implied or directly stated in previous movies, and a good storyteller would probably follow up on those in following up on those with the following up.
Okay, so we're going to trust the script. Things are going to happen. At the start, I said we're going to talk about the thing that the Gamers is actually pretty big in Germany, and I'm wondering, is that something that you're aware of? Do you get fan mail from German viewers, from German fans, and do you have an explanation for why it's so big in Germany?
I have been told it is very big in Germany. I don't receive a lot of fan mail from any of the German fans. I don't receive actually a lot of fan mail, which I think partially has to do with how bad I am at replying, not just to fan mail, but to everything. Ask any of my close friends who text me or email me. I am terrible, truly terrible replying to things. I apologize to anyone who knows me and has tried to get in touch with me in the past 20 years.
Okay, so you're aware of the fact, but it's a mystery.
Why? It's a mystery, yeah. So I don't know what it is that, you hear about different things, that guy's big in Japan, or that guy's, big in Germany, wherever. I don't know that I'm quite to that level, but I it's nice to know that there are people outside of, because you don't always know when you make something if it's only going to hit for people who are culturally almost identical to you, like in your own country or very similar countries who mostly speak the same language and have a lot of the same references that are language-based. Mm-hmm. But, there are a lot of things that do cross-culture. And I feel like gaming is one of those things. And it's not Germany and the United States are so far apart. But still, there are certain things that are going to play one place that aren't going to play the other for reasons that are entirely about the local culture. And I think gaming is one of those things that if you have gamed, you get what's going on. You understand these references, especially for the Gamer series. You've run into these things in your own game because they are universal experiences to this type of activity, to this game.
Yeah, but it's also testament to how well it works. It's a testament to how good you were as a team and seeing what those things are that every gaming group will have encountered. And it still is when you show people the Gamers for the first time, they go, "Oh, we had exactly that situation." And at least three of those always.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. Those experiences, everyone's like, "Oh, hey, that's Carl," or Carl's the one who always does that, or something like that. Yeah, there's always someone you can say, "I've gamed with that guy."
As you mentioned in the beginning, this is something that started out as just a bunch of friends thinking this is a neat idea. Let's just do it. Let's see how this works out. And it has like stepped up its game, no pun intended, with each new iteration. And now you've arrived at a point where you are working on a Kickstarter for $500,000. So what's that feel like? Is it a little bit surreal, or have you had time to digest it?
I think there's been it's got elements of both of those things, okay. A little surreality, that's a word, I didn't make it up, and and also, like, some time to kind of get used to how it works. Like, I mean, because when we started, you know, like, everything was borrowed, everyone was there on a volunteer basis, and then that was for the original gamers, and then when we did Dorkness Rising, we were like, hey, we could actually, you know, let's do this a little more professionally. Let's get people who have been in the industry who especially can cover the stuff we don't know, but also, like, we had so little crew that we could really not pull off very much with the original gamers technically, that we could then do with Dorkness Rising because we had an actual film crew who knew what they were doing. And so as we went, we sort of like expanded on that every time to try and make sure that we had the best crew we could, that we had all the support we needed to achieve the vision of what that movie was going to be. So kind of there've been these steps along the way. And $500,000 sounds like a lot, but that's another thing, like, kind of as you go, you learn that in movies, that's actually not very much money at all. There's a lot we're going to be able to do with that. We've had a lot of experience at taking not very much and turning it into everything it possibly could be turned into. And we're going to do that with this one, but it isn't, for me personally, that would be a lot of money. For a movie, it actually only gets you so far. So there's a lot of that has to be brought through creativity and storytelling. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. And also, fantasy productions are notoriously costly. And since you've, well, at least it seems you've committed to telling the story in the fantasy world, we'll see what happens. It's like, you can't get away with half the movie being just people in normal clothes sitting around a table playing a game. So do you, budget-wise, do you already know, like, what are going to be the big chunks that you need the money for?
I think that goes into, like, stuff I can't talk about / don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that there are any specific big budget parts. But just having, like you said, fantasy settings, that means there's almost nothing that you have around your house or that you'd see every day that you could use on screen. Because, you know, nothing made of plastic, nothing made of really refined metalwork, like machined stuff, like none of that is going to be something that would have been period appropriate. You know, your clothes have to be entirely different. So everything has to be either already that you bring in has to already be like that, or has to be custom made specifically for your show.
Yeah. And I remember gags like, hide behind the mound of dead bards. I guess this is going to come up a lot. And back then I already thought, how many different versions of the costume did they make from that? And that was Darkness Rising. So I'm looking forward to what more you can bring costume-wise and just set-wise with that kind of money. I do have some questions that either Nico or someone else from our friends group wanted to ask. And one of them is maybe very personal, but I need to ask it. Why don't you specifically, Nathan, why don't you age? Because you don't.
Oh, well, that's very flattering. Thank you. I wish my mirror agreed with you, but I'll take it. I think I went bald really early. So I got all my aging out of the way, like, in my early 20s. And then I've just kind of been coasting on being that age ever since. So if the secret to not aging is to look old early.
So you're kind of doing a Patrick Stewart, like being a very, very regal, very early on, and then just staying in this transcendent state for the rest of your life.
That is an amazingly flattering comparison that I will not dispute.
Okay. There's another question that might sound strange if you do not have the kind of memory where you remember every tiny detail about a project that you've done years before. But do you know where Buxtehude is?
Oh, yes, the family name from Gamers 3.
Yeah.
And of course I know where Buxtehude is. It's obviously a reference to Dietrich Buxtehude, a Danish organist and composer of the Baroque period, whose works are typical of the North German organ school, as any child would know. It's of course also a town in Lower Saxony, obviously.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's amazing that you know all this from the top of your head without.
Yeah, I'm
any search engine help.
Gifted.
Yeah, it's way. Just. I think there was a moment where German viewers went, "Wait, what?" Because it's like. Buxtehude is a little bit like saying Bumfuck Alabama or something like that. That's, yeah, you know, that's the place where no one goes. It does exist, but it's to say it's like out in the boondocks.
That's funny. That's great.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about also how TTRPGs and the TTRPG scene has changed and how that might be reflected in the gamers, because things have changed really quite a lot. A lot more people have started playing, things like actual plays have become a big thing. So now people are unironically just watching people play TTRPGs.
Yeah.
So is this something that kind of influences also your choices in storytelling or how you go about projects like this or how your view of the hobby and how to present it has changed?
I don't know that. So there's been, if you've seen Gamers 3 Hands of Fate, you know it ended in a way that kind of was saying there's going to have to be a sequel. So I don't know that it's changed. Like, it hasn't at all changed our decision for there to be a Gamers 4 Darkness Falls. I feel, though, like you said, like the gaming community has just exploded. It's gotten so big with, I don't know exactly where it happened. I just started seeing D&D everywhere, and I was super excited about it. And I think that makes this, like, such a good time for this project is because, like, it's weird to say, but it's not quite so dorky to play D&D, and it's fantastic. It's a little, I don't know what the word is. I'm not sure how to feel about having a hobby that is dorky that might not actually be dorky, because I still feel like a total dork, and I self-apply that term. I embrace it fully. But I really like that there's now a place where people can just play D&D without having to, like, you know, hide from someone who's going to stuff them in a locker, you know?
Yeah. It's a weird feeling that this hobby is suddenly cool, and that the cool kids are playing it.
Yes.
It's like, what happened? Yeah. And another thing I remember, like, there was at least one cameo, I think, of people who are in the TTRPG space in one of the former gamers. I think Monty Cook shows up in one.
Oh yeah. He's in Gamers 2 Darkness Rising.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it also has kind of changed who the celebrities. See the air quotes. The celebrities in the TTRPG space are. So back then, you've had one of the best known designers for D20 games in your movie. And will there be, like, celebrity cameos of a different kind, or are you still looking for people who create stuff to be in the movie just as a nod to the scene?
While I don't know specifics, and I'm sure even if I did, I couldn't talk about them, I can say that it's likely that those are the kind of casting choices that are going to be sought out by the production team.
Okay.
I think we like having those connections to the gaming community, I think, is sort of a way to say, you know, look, we're, this is who we are. Like, we are also gamers, and we want to say, hey, some of what we want to feature is people who have given us these games to enjoy in the first place.
What do I do now? I didn't know that Gamers 4 is coming out, but it's not for 2.5 years. Any recommendations what to watch? So you already dropped a few names of shows or stuff. Anything that kind of can scratch that itch until Gamers 4?
Well, my suggestion, to be fair, this is always a suggestion I have for people. Mm. But in this particular case, game as much as you can. Do as much gaming as you can possibly get in. Not only is this going to improve your life, you're going to have all these fresh gaming experiences to bring to the Gamers Darkness Falls. So it will land or fall even more profoundly, or something else equally eloquent.
With more impact or something like that. But
Yes. With good.
is that something that you do yourself? So do you have the time to game still? Because many people realize at some point, oh, maybe being a grown up with a grown up job is not that easy.
Yeah. I don't have the time to game, but I end up gaming anyway. Mm. I do have some regularly planned game nights built into my schedule. And so having that allows me to actually game. I think if I were just trying to do, because in my 20s, I could do pickup gaming whenever, because, you know, no one had a schedule that was going to require them to be somewhere. You know, their jobs weren't as important, or they hadn't started, you know, their families yet, etc. So yeah, just being like, hey, is everyone available Tuesday? Yeah, great, let's game. Awesome. I have to have it as a scheduled event. But now that I can do that kind of thing, yeah, I have usually at least 1.5 nights a week that I game.
Oh. Call it
1.5.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
That's more than most people I know actually manage to schedule.
On a really good week, I can have 4, but most of the time it's 1. So the frequency of having 4 versus the frequency of having 1, it stands at about 1.5.
But still pretty good.
Yeah. How? It canceled a lot for grown-up reasons.
Yeah. And the last one, my last question is, how do you feel about having the crew back together, like bringing the band back together? And have you been, like, in contact? Is there, like, a gamers in group where you, I don't know, just share stuff with friends and talk about and... Yeah, what's it feel like to be back with a team?
I mean, it feels great always to be with this team. And we have kept in contact. Like, we usually, once a year, all of us and, like, the extended, like, community and our families will get together for, like, a weekend and just hang out and play games and enjoy each other's company. And so many of those, like a lot of those are connections from back in our college days. And a lot of those are people that came into that community through the Gamers Darkness Rising or Hands of Fate or you know, either as actors or crew or something else along the way who've kind of been, I don't want to say adopted, they just sort of already belong to that family. And so they were naturally brought into the fold. I love seeing them every time. Like, I don't see these people enough. I am excited to get to do this, because though we get together, we don't make shows very much. Mm-hmm. So I'm especially excited to get together with these people whom I love to do the thing that we did originally that we all love together.
It's nice knowing that community kind of grew out of this project, or that the project helped to keep this community together. Because for us dogs out there in the wild, it has been also kind of something that grew community or a sense of community, because lines from the gamers, especially from Darkness Rising, have been like the secret code word for people to recognize each other on and out in the wilds, exactly, like realizing you're both the same kind of geek. So thank you for giving us that.
Our own shibboleth, yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to what you're going to do with that. As you said, it's not a huge budget for a movie, but with a budget and a nice one at that. And yeah, it's running for a little bit more than 2 weeks. At the moment, right when we're recording this, so probably when it's up, it's going to be 2 weeks for people. Just take a look at the Kickstarter and see if you want to join.
Yeah, we're thankful for everybody who can pledge, however much you can pledge. We really want to get this out there. We're excited to bring it to you, but we do need your help to bring it.
Oh yeah, and you might. There is a tier, if you want to look at it, where you can get like a slot to say The Shadow
in the movie. That's right, yeah.
How's that going to work?
One of the backer tiers is that if you back at that tier, and there are, as of earlier today, I think there were 12, there were 12 of them total, and I think 7 have been purchased. So as of this morning, there were 5 slots left for that that tier called Say His Name. And if you pledge at that tier, we will put you into the show saying The Shadow. You'd have to, current terms and conditions apply. We wouldn't be able to put you up and fly you out because that would take most of the money that you had pledged in the first place. And the idea is that we come out to a point where we can use that money to make the show. But if you can get yourself out here, we'll feed you. And we will put you in the show saying The Shadow in one of the 3 states of reaction, you know, alarmed, scared, or awed.
Okay, but you will have to be on location, and you will have to come there. Okay, good.
And so you get to hang out with everybody that day and you know, dress up in whatever the appropriate costume is. And I don't know what people are going to be. I don't know if everyone who says the shadow is human. I don't know if they're trolls or goblins or space dinosaurs, anything. Who knows? I'm not saying those are in there. That is entirely.
I'm still fingers crossed for space dinosaurs.
Me too.
Okay. And I already said my last question is like 2 questions ago, but one last thing. I'm doing Columbo here. One last thing. The Dorkonomicon. Why do I need the Dorkonomicon, and what is it?
Well, obviously, if you want to get your degree in Dorkonomics.
Dorkonomics, okay. I'm rather looking into dorkology. And
yeah, exactly. It's part of the same
group of studies.
Area of study. The Dorkonomicon is going to be fun. It's going to be like a yearbook of the production. It's going to have like behind the scenes stuff and stuff about the story. It's going to have like a sketch bios of the crew and the cast and different, you know, concept art sketches and you know, like looking at different locations and why we chose them, and you know, lore that might not appear in the movie but like was the reason that like certain things happened the way they did, and you know, there'll be fun jokes in there. Will be like yearbook pages, you know, from cast and crew, and who knows, maybe characters. I don't know, that's all supposition. Again, at this point, I don't know anything about specifics on most things. Mm-hmm. I just know I want to do this and that you want to see it.
That's true. Me specifically, yes, definitely. And we're just going to assume that the all the yous who are going to watch this are also interested. Okay.
Yeah. And the big thing about the Dorkonomicon, though, that I do know is it will for sure only be available through this Kickstarter campaign. Mm-hmm. I know there are Kickstarter campaigns that have said you can only get this in this campaign, and then later on they make it again and they want you to pay for it. That's not going to happen here. This is for sure the only place you will ever be able to get the Dorkonomicon.
Or at a horrendous price from someone who's going to put it up on eBay years later.
Oh, yeah,
later.
You can secondhand.
But okay.
But do you want to pay secondhand market prices in this economy? Come on.
No.
This Dorkonomy.
The Stockonomy, yes. Let's make that a thing. Right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, Nathan. It's been lovely.
I was really excited to hear you wanted to do the interview. Thank you. This is great.
Yeah. And yeah, we're going to get into the German market to Reisebro and look at this and yeah, finding more people to join this this community of people who have found kind of a dorky home in your projects and in your movies.
That's fantastic. It's one of the things I like best about the projects is people, you know, sometimes say, hey, you know, not everybody, you know, my family doesn't always understand what I do here. And this is, I know there are people who do. So that's really, I like that idea of that greater dork community.
Yes. Thank you. And have a great day. And fingers crossed for a really successful last few weeks of the Kickstarter.
Thank you very much.